It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watch reaches 46 million sold. Jim Kidd is now available in Canada. Pocket Cast is acquired by NPR, and we have three more cases of the Apple Watch saving lives. Reviews of the Print Photos app, Walker, a gamified fitness app, and Canary Secure Email. This and a whole lot more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. The Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as $1 a month, you can help us keep producing this show and get a little something extra in return, like access to bonus episodes, Apple Watchcast gear, and even be a guest on the show. So check out our page at patreon.com/Apple Watchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 235, recorded Sunday, May 6, 2018. The Apple Watch is a lifesaver. Okay, must be time to start. I'm losing my voice. All right, here we go.
I say get that voice ready.
Here we go. All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Hey, Tom. Glad to be back.
Yeah, welcome back. How was your trip?
Yeah, it was all right. It's fantastic, actually, in terms of the results, but yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Also joining us, of course, is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Vincent. Glad to have you back.
Yes, I think we're all back at our home base.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. For the moment. So that's nice. Great. So you had a good time, huh, Vincent?
Yeah, couldn't ask for more. Actually, we could ask for more. You can always ask for more. But I think we have a lot to handle going forward with the business that are growing.
Yeah, as far as the Apple Watch goes this week, there's some news to go through. There's a lot of life-saving news to go through. I've never seen so many. And also, Apple had its earnings reported this week. So big week for Apple itself. And we'll get into some of those numbers, but it just spectacular, which is good news for the Apple Watch. And anything good for Apple is good for the Apple Watch. So nice,
always
nice to hear about that. I wanted to mention something. I forgot to mention this on a previous show, and this is not an Apple Watch related app, and I wish it was. Maybe someday they'll have a component for that. But this was it's an app called 3-2-1 Launch. It's on the iPhone. It's an AR app, okay? Augmented reality. So it only works on certain models of phone, I do believe. I know it works on the 10 because that's what I have. But what this does is you can watch in real time an augmented reality launch of a rocket. So a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago maybe, NASA, or actually it was SpaceX, launched a rocket into space. I watched it live wherever I was on some tabletop through the phone. It was amazing to see, because you can then move the phone around, tilt up, you know, walk around it, all that kind of stuff as it takes off. Fantastic. You can also build
seriously?
Yeah. You can build your own rocket too and launch it, you know, in augmented reality, but to see it live with a countdown, and you can hear the commentators, you know, doing the countdown and talking about the project and what it's launching and all that kind of stuff in real time. So check that out if you're a fan of that.
Do they insert your name as one of the astronauts?
No, you don't get to do that. It's called 3-2-1 Launch, though. It's pretty neat. I wish they had a watch component, because that would be kind of neat to see that.
Your watch flies off your wrist.
Now, the only component of the watch was the notification. It let me know when it was going to happen once you sign up for this thing.
Oh, that's cool.
So I knew that there was a rocket launching at that moment. So neat. Yeah, very, very cool. Check it out. You know, because we did an app review one time that did do kind of a 3D hologram on your watch, remember?
Right.
So you
could QR or something like that. Yeah.
Technically kind of do it. I don't know. That might be possible. Mm. Anyway, anything else you want to talk about this week before we dive in?
No, let's light this candle.
There you go. That's the right terminology. Okay. 3, 2, 1, launch. Here we go.
The Apple Watchcast. News.
All right, time for the news. As we mentioned at the top of the show here, Apple had its earnings report. But what was actually more interesting, because a lot of the numbers were maybe a little bit better than what people thought, and Apple kind of dispelled the rumors that were flying around about the iPhone X not doing as well. Well, it didn't really matter because they made a ton of money off of it. Right? You can sell less units as long as you make more money. Yeah, right? See how that works? So, Wall Street was totally happy with that. Yeah, so the more interesting thing was this earnings call that they do afterwards with Tim Cook, where he gets into more specifics of what happened. And he touted that the other category, okay, has hit $4 billion in revenue during the second quarter.
Wow.
In one quarter. It's done $4 billion. That includes, of course, the AirPods, the Apple Watch, HomePod, Beats, iPod Touch, Apple TV.
We just briefly spoke about that last show, Tom, with you and me, about that size, where that category was.
$3.96 billion in revenue.
Incredible.
That's up 38% year over year. And he said specifically wearables increased 50% year over year. Just the wearables part, which they now, Tim Cook is touting, has finally reached the size of a Fortune 300 company.
That's crazy.
Absolutely crazy. I knew it was doing well. I had no idea.
Was that his goal, like $5 billion or something?
I don't know that they – I'm not sure what the projection was for that category.
So pretty impressive. And when someone works in other, we say, where do you work at Apple? I work at other.
Yeah. You're in that other category, aren't you?
Yeah, the really good category.
And Tim Cook also announced Apple Pay is coming to three new countries, Norway, Poland, and the Ukraine. And he touted that Apple Pay, that growth during the quarter has more than doubled year over year. And the transactions have tripled. Is that not crazy? I don't understand how they keep growing and growing and growing.
Yeah, as soon as the infrastructure falls in place for folks to actually use it, I mean, it just grows exponentially.
Yeah, I think they say a lot of this is coming from transit in Beijing and Shanghai. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's got to be a really big thing. They must pull in a lot from that. So, go ahead.
When there's Apple Pay, that's not necessarily the MyPay part of it, right? I mean, they talked about creating the infrastructure for paying merchants, but between folks, that's a separate
I think that's
feature.
Separate.
Yeah, I think so too.
I don't know that that's considered part of a transaction. And I'd be real curious to know how much that's being used.
Oh, yeah, the personal payments?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be amazing to be able to pay folks in other countries and you'd have to figure out what the conversion charges and all that stuff are. But that's been a really difficult thing to do forever, I mean, in terms of wiring and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think the other competitors are still probably way ahead of them when it comes to international person-to-person. Mm-hmm. Just feels that way. I don't have any data, but everyone still talks about Venmo and all that. And is that international?
I don't know.
I think so. That, PayPal, all that.
And PayPal, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of banks are starting to do this now themselves, which, you know, that's just kind of a headache, isn't it? Don't you have to have the same bank or, you know, I mean, it seems to me Apple Pay is a much simpler solution, but to do it. And, you know, if you think about it, how many iPhones are there out there? This should be growing, right?
Yeah, no new app, no new to log in. PayPal or anything, you have to go out in there and get it. Yeah, I still don't have Venmo because I don't want to download the app. It's one of those things.
Do you, Vincent, you have an iPhone X?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, with the face recognition, when you go to buy something, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you hit the button twice on the side to pay.
Yeah.
And your credit card thing pops up, and then it does an instant face recognition.
Right. Uh-huh.
Are you ever afraid that if you're behind someone, you accidentally double click it, you're going to pay for their product or what they're buying? Because man, that face recognition is so fast. And if you accidentally pick up the phone, double tap that thing, I've done it a couple times. I picked it up and mm-hmm. I see, why is my credit card there? It's because I accidentally hit the button twice. But I guess you have to actually be close to the register itself, right?
Yeah.
I worry about that. I shouldn't, but I'm like, I don't want to buy your stuff because you're in front of me in the line. But I guess that could happen. Okay, so after this whole earnings call and all of that, of course, we get the analysts coming along. This is according to a Simco analyst, Horace D-E-D-I-U. Okay, we'll call him Horace. This is according to Horace. Speculates that Apple has sold 46 million Apple Watches so far.
46 million. Wow.
With a user base of 40 to 43 million. So that means either 3 or 6 million people have a watch that don't use it. That's a lot of not used watches out there. Yeah. Anyway, what I thought was interesting is I'll put a link in the show notes to this, is they have a chart, several charts here. And I love, I'm a visual person. I love charts. And he believes that Apple has made, you ready for this? $16.4 billion in revenue from the Apple Watch so far.
Wow.
And this chart shows, the other segment reported revenues from 2009, I think, all the way to current. And it's color-coded, and you can see where the watch jumps in at second quarter 2015 with this orange color on the chart.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see it, how it tops up and down and up and down. And then below that, which is even more interesting, is just the Apple Watch revenues in millions of dollars. And it's a chart that shows, again, from second quarter of 2015 up to today, and how it's gone up and then dropped and then spiked and then dropped and then spiked. Mm-hmm.
It's Christmas gifts, right?
It is.
Q4. Yes, Q4. Yeah. New watches and the Christmas.
It's Q4. And I have to tell you, if I were to plot the number of downloads of our podcast and chart it, it would probably mirror this exactly. Because this is what I've seen, is this spike in the fourth quarter of downloads of our show. And I think it's people who get the watch and check us out. It's kind of funny. Anyway, I'll put a link in the show notes so you all can see that as well.
It's cool to see that difference where the iPod kind of went out and the watch came in.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Because they actually put the iPod in here, and it makes it look like it's a replacement for it.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. But what's not in, because this is just the other segment, I guess the iPod falls into the other segment. They still sell the iPod, don't they?
I think so.
Yeah.
But I saw one the other day, yeah.
But apparently since 2015, it hasn't made enough to even show up on a chart.
Yeah, so, not even a small part in the graph.
No. The fact that most people don't even know they still sell them.
Well, you know, Tom, I was in Switzerland this week, and I was at the airport yesterday before I flew home, walking to the airport, and in a period of about 12 gates, came up from the train and walked 12 gates, I saw three huge kiosks for Switch watches. And I was walking mm-hmm. by my Apple Watch, I thought maybe I'd disintegrate or something.
And a kiosk you could buy, what was the price?
I didn't even look at the price. I went over and looked at the watches, and they were kind of neat. They were really nice, but I didn't look at the pricing.
Yeah, I just wondered if you get a deal there or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure you can. I don't know if they negotiate with you at the airport or not.
That's true. I just meant overall, if they were lower there than.
Yeah, yeah, true. But, I don't know.
Hmm. Well, you talk about competitors for the Apple Watch. Let's talk about Fitbit for a second, because again, with these numbers coming out, Apple Watch shipments this past quarter almost doubled Fitbits. So they're projecting just over 4 million Apple Watches were shipped during the first quarter this year. That's double the number of Fitbit Fitbit apparently shipped 2.2 million between January and March, which is below analysts' expectations. Mm-hmm. A little worried about Fitbit. Wondering.
Didn't they come out with that new Apple Watch knockoff?
The Versa?
Yeah. The Versa, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how it's doing. Go ahead.
Yeah, my wife and I were talking about Fitbits. My son is just about to get to a point where he's much more active in sports and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we want him to track his activity. And, the conversation came down to whether or not it was a Fitbit or an Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. And it was like, well, if you get an Apple Watch, you have to get a phone and all this other stuff to do that. And so, I mean, there's still a market and a segment for it. I guess folks that don't want to have such an expensive device when you're out and doing rigorous activities. You don't want to break it, but I don't know. I think they're still going to be around. There's still going to be need for it, but I'm waiting for Apple to come up with that version.
Right, but does that really happen? Do you hear about people destroying their Apple Watch because they worked out with it?
I don't know how many people would do that if they're gonna go out and play rugby or something. I don't know.
Or football or whatever.
Yeah, you take your watch off.
We really haven't talked about that, the actual use of a watch in sport.
But wouldn't you take off a Fitbit too? Because if you're doing something that rough.
Tom, it depends which one you have. And, you have those, I don't know the model numbers or anything, but you have the one is very small and very tight. You could probably do a sport with it on.
Yeah, maybe.
It's just like a little pellet, right? And it just tracks. Yeah. It's the basic version.
Right. Let's put it that way. I've seen more people wear their Fitbits while they're playing instead of a watch.
And maybe that's just perception because I do everything with a watch. I haven't broken it yet. But I don't play rugby, but but still, there's things I do with it that most people would probably take their watch off.
Sure.
I would assume any rugby league would make you take anything off anyway to play.
Maybe.
Unless you're playing like intramurals or something.
Okay. All of our listeners who are rugby players, and I know there's a lot of you out there, email us and let us know if you wear your Apple Watch while you do that.
Has it survived?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
We should talk to, there's a fellow we both worked with in advertising who was big into rugby. I don't know if he still is.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Miguel?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I wonder if he has an Apple Watch. He was a big Apple fan, too. Mm-hmm. I haven't talked to him in quite a while, but.
I know some rugby players. There's a local club here, and I know a few of them. I don't know if they wear Apple Watches or not, but I'll pay attention more next time I see them.
Yeah, just curious. Just curious. Yep. Anyway, so that all happened. Enough of the numbers.
So let's pick a rough sport to talk about, not like playing some golf, right? Golf players, keep your watch on.
Well, yeah. Rugby. Yeah, yeah. Well, now it's forbidden in a lot of sports, though, baseball, that sort of thing.
So, that's true.
Let's move on to some other numbers. I just thought this was maybe too late for this, but I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. Public service announcement. If you're looking to get an Apple Watch Series 3, GPS only, no cellular, just GPS only. Macy's was having for $50 off, and it's one of those limited time sales that I have no idea when it starts or expires, but it was currently going on this past week. It may still be going on. So you could get a Series 3 with a sport band for $50 off. That means the 38 millimeter would be $279 and the 42 millimeter would be $309 shipped. So there you go. If you're looking for
good
one.
Good deal.
Yeah. Don't know if it's still on. But you might want to check it out if you're looking to get one. Speaking of working out and fitness, Gym Kit is now in Canada. Made its Canadian debut. Life Fitness Equipment at Equinox now works with the Apple Watch. So that's nice. It's a fitness club in Toronto that now lets members pair their Apple Watch to sync up their fitness data while they work out. That the Gym Kit is the thing that uses the Gym Kit enabled treadmills, ellipticals, stair steppers, mm-hmm. indoor bikes, all that kind of stuff. You get more accurate data for things like distance and pace and all that kind of stuff. Now we had talked about this earlier. Gym Kit was in a few clubs here in the U.S., some in Hong Kong and Japan, but now it's also available in Canada. Seems like it's a slow rollout here, but it's getting there.
It is. Seems like it, yeah. And also, I remember seeing videos in some of the links we've had, but there was a video in there that was kind of neat. Oh, the guy showed you how it all worked.
How it works. Yeah. Yeah. I'll put a link to that one as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see that video. And this is one, I think, one of our listeners, I'm sorry, I don't have their name in front of me here, sent us, info on this. I had seen it, already in the kind of our feed of news that we go through. But Wink, the app Wink just killed its Apple Watch app. So that functionality,
rest in peace.
Yeah, is being quietly retired. They confirmed that, the Wink app for Apple Watch is no longer available once users update to the current, app version of 6.9. And they, from the company, they say, we will continue to explore ways to provide Apple Watch users with the best experience. Yeah, really? You just got rid of it. What kind of experience can you give them now? Now, Wink, if you're not familiar with it, they manage smart home and Internet of Things devices from different manufacturers. So light bulbs, thermostats, appliances, locks, they can all be paired with this Wink hub. And from that point, they can be controlled using their, instead of using the individual app for each device, you can do it through this Wink app. Now, I was reading this article. I wasn't that familiar with Wink, but apparently their Apple Watch app was released back in July of 2015. I wonder if this is another case of them not updating it. It was done with the old developer kit, and it was going to expire. You think this is another case of that? The timing is certainly suspect.
Yeah, it does take some effort to keep up with Apple.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a dedicated team to kind of update the watch part of things, I mean...
3 years, come on. You can't update it in 3 years? To any other version? Yes. That's
right.
That's a conscious decision by someone at the company to say, we're not going to use this anymore.
Yeah, right.
Now, they currently did not support HomeKit. To me, HomeKit is a competitor. Right? HomeKit does the same thing.
Essentially, yeah.
So, it makes me wonder why Apple even allowed this thing. It kind of, I guess they kind of have to, but no surprise that they're not, part of the HomeKit. But anyway, Wink is gone. In the wink of an eye. Blink of an eye, whatever. Okay. Moving on. This next story I want to talk about is only related to the Apple Watch because it's about an app on the Apple Watch that we've reviewed and talked about in the past. It's called Pocket Casts. Remember that app?
Yeah.
Which is a podcast app. Mm-hmm. They were bought by none other than NPR, including other public radio stations and This American Life. So it's one of the better podcast apps, just got bought by the biggest podcast producer. So this was a collective group that was NPR, WNYC Studios, and WBEZ in Chicago, and This American Life have purchased them. This team of stations, they're the ones that have created This American Life, Serial, Radio Lab, Planet Money, some of the biggest podcast hits over the past couple of years. Now, they say the existing staff and development team is staying put. Owen Grover, who's, a veteran of iHeartRadio and Clear Channel, has been named Pocket Cast CEO. NPR apps, including NPR One, are going to remain in development. And they did not disclose a price. But the people behind Pocket Casts are insistent they chose the path not because of what the buyers paid, but because of who they are. Yeah, okay. I think if they had offered you a dollar, you still wouldn't have done it. I think it's a little more than that. We have other acquisition offers in the past. We turned them down because they think that this is a great group to work with. So... How do you guys feel?
Regardless if that's true or not, Tom, it seems to be a good group to be with from a podcast perspective.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Now, there in podcasting, a lot has changed, especially since I have been doing this. Now, your opportunities for people to hear you are almost unlimited. It's almost mirrors what's happening in media itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have all these different, used to be just Apple. and their podcast app was the only way to do it. Now Spotify is trying to get people in with their streaming service. Google offers it part of Google Play. Then you've got all these different apps. I mean, there's a lot of ways for people to listen and find your podcast. And as we talked about on a previous show, the numbers are staggering. I don't know if this was last week.
50 billion.
Yeah.
It was last week.
It was last week. You missed that, Vincent. But the numbers are incredible now with the number of podcasts that are out there and the number of downloads. I'm a little hesitant about this, just thinking it's going to be okay, because I'm a little worried about what may happen when companies that produce these shows also own the distribution model for it. The beauty of Apple is they're independent of it, right? They have no say. Mm-hmm. But now, who's to say what could happen with Pocket Casts? Are they going to give preferential treatment to their shows from NPR over anybody else? You know, is it going to be harder for someone to find our show on Pocket Casts than I don't know. It's a strange thing I've never seen happen before, and I'm a little bit worried about what that might hold for the future. The consolidation worries me.
Yeah, so it's like kind of like Budweiser buying all the bars in Missouri.
Yeah, I
and
guess
then
so.
All you have is Budweiser on tap because they own all the bars. Is that what you're saying?
In a way, yeah. To put okay. it in a perspective of your, yeah, something you understand
and
very
something
well.
Something I understand, yes.
Yeah. Mm. You know, I have this fear there's only going to be two or three places you can get podcasts in the future, and they're all going to produce their own shows.
You know, it's a result of the way that Apple has curated the way you find podcasts. I mean, people are making their own app so that it appears in the on the screen instead of inside, mm-hmm. nested inside the podcast app, and then you're going around digging around in there. And we've already had our problems with the iTunes store. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, what I loved about podcasting and still do, mm-hmm. was kind of this whole vision of the fact that anybody can do a show about anything, and it kind of has equal weight with someone like NPR.
It does. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. that changes when some stuff like this starts to happen. So we'll see. And maybe I'm overreacting.
But. Well, that's a good insight, Tom. I think that you have to keep your eye on it and see how the consolidation happens if that occurs. It's kind of like net neutrality, right? Is that changed the way that your internet's delivered to you?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. You know, that's always been, to me, the whole reason for doing podcasts is you can reach an audience without having to go through any of these other places, big companies.
Exactly.
Right? So
your big, bad Budweiser podcast and our three-man Apple Watch podcast have, like you said, equal weight. And as long as you search and can find it, you're gonna be able to hear it.
Right. You can have your own radio show.
Yeah.
You don't have to be, don't have to go through. Now, and look who's running the thing, a guy from Clear Channel and iHeartRadio, the biggest conglomerate of radio in the world, right? I mean.
Yeah, so we'll turn in like Amazon, where I think, I don't know a lot about Amazon, but when you sell on Amazon, you're kind of rated based on sales and all the good things that happen. Maybe now that can happen on podcasts.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. We'll keep an eye on it. Again, I may be overreacting, but.
Well, we'll see.
Have our own app soon.
Keep your eye on it.
Yeah, we can have our own app. We just can't compete with the dollars that are behind some of these bigger ones.
Yeah.
And that's always been the that's what I loved, still love about, Apple doing this when they did it. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on it. Also, what else is, okay, now we get into some interesting things that happened this week here. This first story comes to us from Tampa Bay. A Tampa Bay teenager is thankful that her Apple Watch, she had a medical episode while she was in church. She didn't know what was going on. It was just out of the blue. Her name is Deanna Rechtenwald. And a warning notified her, she's 18 years old, that her resting heart rate was hitting 190 beats per minute. She said it was alarming that the watch was telling us to seek medical attention. This is from her mother. Says, I didn't even know that it had the capability of giving us that alert. How many times have we heard that?
Mm-hmm.
So her mother actually is a registered nurse and did not initially, she initially questioned the accuracy of the reading. But the staff at a walk-in clinic confirmed the rapid heartbeat. And her mother was just shocked that it was right on. And they all agreed
that
saved her life. She was rushed to the emergency room. They soon discovered she suffers from chronic kidney disease, both kidneys operating only 20%. So that, you know, had it not been for the watch alerting her, it's probably something that would have continued to go unnoticed, right, for quite a while. And down the road, who knows what would have happened. But they claim that the Apple Watch saved her life. So she sent a letter to, or at least her mother did, to Tim Cook, thanking them for the life-saving feature. And Tim Cook wrote back. He said, I'm happy to hear your daughter is fine now. Thanks for sharing her story. This inspires us to keep pushing. Best Tim. So there you go. Another case of someone's life being saved. And then we have another one.
More and more.
Yeah, this week. This was in New York City. A man had a ruptured ulcer, which is pretty serious.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
William, I'm not going to pronounce his last name, William, was working at his family business, became dizzy, went to the bathroom. He started bleeding, apparently pretty bad at that point. And then he immediately got an alert on his Apple Watch telling him to seek medical attention. So the symptoms he was experiencing and the alert is what prompted him to go straight to the hospital. His mother said he looked like a ghost. He was bleeding all over the place during the car ride. I guess this is true and can happen. During the 30-minute car ride, well, I guess he's in New York, but holy cow, he lost nearly 80% of his blood.
What?
No.
That's what it says.
That's a typo.
I don't know. They say once he arrived at the hospital, the medical personnel concluded he was suffering from a ruptured ulcer. In order to undergo surgery, he needed a transfusion immediately. He said, I lost so much blood that I needed a transfusion for the anesthesia to travel to my brain to put me out for the surgery.
And
apparently the doctor said if he had not gotten the notification from his Apple Watch, he would not have survived. Because the initial bleeding, you know, he may have not immediately done something, and every minute counted. And when something like that, because usually when that happens, apparently you have like an hour to live.
Wow. That's weird. Well, I'm trying to figure out how the Apple Watch was able to like determine that he needed medical attention. Was it trying to
low blood pressure, I would imagine.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't do blood pressure. I mean,
heart rate. Lower high heart rate.
So it could tell the difference between the fact that you just didn't take off your watch, or it wasn't getting a good reading.
Maybe.
But it could tell that something was going on, which is
and there has to be some kind of time frame that it can quickly make that decision. Versus, hey, I just had a couple bad readings, let me recheck it. Versus saying, I got some low readings, something's wrong.
I mean, how many false positives have there been where it tells you to get medical attention and you don't need it? And so that's when. It's amazing that it can do that so accurately.
Yeah, better safe than sorry. I was reading through the comments below, and I know I shouldn't do that. But a lot of people questioning the story, whether it's even true, just because it's so wild.
Well, I was sitting there thinking that's a lot of description about a lot of blood that he lost.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's kind of over dramatized, but I don't want to say that because it could be true, and then you're dissing a guy that was bleeding to death on the way to the hospital.
Yeah. Now, someone had said it's an ulcer that has perforated or opened through the stomach and let loose a bleeding artery. They said, indeed, a person could literally bleed out in less than an hour with that, and it's a true medical emergency. So, and then they're saying, well, come on, wouldn't you have gone to the hospital anyway? And they're saying, well, maybe not. Especially men tend to ignore the first symptoms of anything, and in this case, every minute counted. So the watch, I guess, was a kind of an independent confirmation that there's something wrong, right?
Could it be an elevated heart rate that would have done it too? Because when you're losing a lot of blood, does your heart try to pump faster or pump slower?
Or you freak out and your heart pumps faster. I can tell you that.
That too. Well, like the first one, right? The first story, the elevated heart rate, that makes total sense. And she went on this one, just trying to figure out what caused him, other than the fact that he was bleeding to death, but what caused the watch to tell him to go?
Yeah.
Now, what factor?
Not sure. So we had a lot of questions with this one, but it's not these aren't the only two. There's another one this week. this is from Atlanta. a suburban Atlanta man is crediting his Apple Watch with saving his life. David Gilley is recovering from heart surgery, says he's alive because of his watch. Said he heard a beeping sound, looked down, and said, I've never seen that message before. Apple Watch told him his heart rate was more than 140 beats per minute. That's pretty high. That's not...
That's moving pretty good.
Yeah.
Without exercising.
Right, exactly. He said, it saved my life. On March 2nd, his wife rushed him to the hospital. If he'd not had the watch on, he would have gone to bed, and no telling what would have happened then. The watch was a birthday present from his wife. He says, now there's the potential to have many more birthdays. What a great gift.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah. So there's another one. Three in 1 week. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I got to wonder, is... on Apple's website, they should have a counter. Number of lives saved with the Apple Watch. Because they must get these letters constantly. These are just the ones that hit the news, right? Mm-hmm. How many don't hit the news? That's got to be an impressive number by now.
Wow.
And it's one of the reasons probably you're seeing 2X Apple Watch to Fitbit sales, just for these kind of things that make the differentiate the products.
Yeah, it's like another ring on your watch, a number of lives saved, right? It's a life-saving ring. It's a lifesaver, right? That is a ring. A lifesaver is a ring, isn't it?
It is.
The actually. Apple Watch is a lifesaver. Yeah. There you go.
There's an app for your lifesavers.
What flavor is yours?
I don't know about you, but the ad that showed up in that last article was the red phone. That was...
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that too.
Quite bloody.
I did too.
Yeah. With a red rose next to it.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Moving on. And this last one here I want to talk about. I think this is the last story. Yeah, we're getting to it. A Lumos. Have you heard a company called Lumos? We may have mentioned them in the past. I don't know. Well, this is new, though. Maybe not. Anyway, this is a company that makes a bike helmet, and they've added Apple Watch gestures to control your turn signals. And it also integrates with Strava and Apple Health apps. So this helmet on the back of it has lights, like LED lights. It has a red one in the center, and it has two orange like arrows, the way it's designed, pointing to either side, that apparently with this new update to the software, if you hold your arm out to the left, the arrow lights on the helmet will blink left. Now, I don't know how you do right. I guess maybe you do a different... gesture.
Yeah.
You do. It's an up. Your hand goes up.
Like up.
It's like a L.
Right. And then to stop the blinking, you shake your hand. So it's connected through Bluetooth. And there's a little video of it, a little GIF here. It looks pretty interesting until you're done and you had to shake your hand. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, just got to shake it for a second or two.
That looks a little strange.
This is cool. This is really neat.
Yeah, the helmet's $180.
Wow.
And if you're looking to get one, if you're interested, pretty soon you're going to be able to go to an Apple store and buy it in U.S. and Europe, or you can order it online. So this is going to be in the Apple stores. That's how much they like it.
They need a jogging vest for people that run at night or something through your Apple Watch, so your chest lights up.
There you go. Your back of your jacket or something.
Yeah, back of your jacket.
Back and front.
I don't know. I might have to get this. I don't bike ride very often, but for the one or two times I do it a year, I might get this.
Now, this helmet's been around since been shipping since 2016, I guess. It's a Hong Kong startup company. Mm-hmm. But now this new update is pretty cool. So I want to check that out.
I don't know. I don't use my turn signals when I'm biking, so maybe so make me do that.
You don't.
That's kind of a safety thing. So you know, it's really weird though. Are you turning left? Or you're just checking the time. I mean, what time is it? Left.
I don't know how many drivers out there understand the signals that you're gesturing.
But aren't you duplicating it? Doesn't holding your arm out mean you're turning left?
Essentially,
and if you put it
but
up,
now you're blinking. Yeah,
this really helps. Yeah. It does. If anything,
it helps at night.
If you're at night, or even when you're behind someone in a car and someone's in front of you biking, the light will get your attention better.
Mm-hmm. Probably, but that's how you used to in a car. If your signals don't work, that's how you tell someone you're turning. In the old days, you put your arm out the window.
I think my dad had a car where he had to do that.
Yeah. I don't think people realize that these days. But anyway,
I forget to turn off the turn signal, and then Be that guy on the bike.
What if you can do this with your car? All right, so let's put the two together. You don't have to click the thing. You just put your watch out, and the blinker on your car turns. That'd be neat.
That would
you can do the gestures inside the car just to yourself, and the blinker is going on and off in the car.
I don't think I have enough room to put my arm out straight unless I take the window down, do I?
Yeah, that's right. You'd have to. Yeah, that would be kind of hard. You could do the right hand turn.
Yeah, you could definitely do the right hand turn.
Maybe make a new gesture. Put it right out front, just out front, straight ahead.
I'm not going to ask what you have to do to put on the brakes. So, okay.
Okay, now we're talking though. So now we're going to control gadgets in your car with your watch, which is gestures. That's what's next.
No, mind control is next, right? Forget the watch.
I think we have mind control somewhere, somehow.
All right. I think we've exhausted this one. All right, time to move on. Here we go.
The Apple Watchcast app reviews.
All right, time for app reviews. Chris, what do you have this week?
Well, Tom, I have something called the Print Photos app by Walgreens. And before the show, I told you I was actually going to review Walgreens because I use the app quite a bit. The phone app, and then I went on the watch app, and I was like, "Oh, that doesn't do anything." So that ruined that idea. But the Print Photos app is another app sponsored by Walgreens, and really, what it does is it allows you to track your print orders when you order photos. So on the phone, what you do with this app is, and it's kind of cool because it's all mobile, obviously, and you can secure access to your once you get access to your photos. Which is, one of the options on the phone app. Or you can do it, all the photos just listed, which, if you have thousands of them, which most of us do, you got to scroll. Or you can do it by albums, which does help. Some people are probably better using albums than I am. But basically what you do is hit an icon and it just says start selecting. And you can just start selecting the photos you want to send to Walgreens to print. So you can send a photo and then you can pick the size, the glossy or matte. And then you can put it in your outbox and go back and select more pictures or just select them all at the same time. If you select them all at the same time, it just gives you a list of the actual photo. And then there's a bar across the top that tells you how big you want, 4x6, 5x7, 8x10. And then it's matte and glossy. And then there's an option to, you want to make a poster, you want to make a card, you want to make a collage. It has that option. And then it has the option to order. So after you place your order, it tracks it on your watch. So it's a pretty good app. I sent some pictures over at my craft beer market. We have a picture wall and you could just load up pictures up there. And I took some of a recent event and sent them over there. And, it's cheap and it's quick and it's easy. But on your watch, basically what it does, it's pretty much a tracker. So, it'll give you the screen and it'll give you a ring. It's a red ring and there's three parts to the red ring. A third of the red ring it is completed when it says, sent for printing, but they make it fun, say warming up the printer, which really means, receiving your order and checking it. Two-thirds of the ring gets filled in when it says printing, and then, of course, when it's complete, it has the full ring. Also, what it does, it has a checklist, so you can see the actual photo you have or photos you put in via a checklist that you can look at, and then it also has a pickup location. So, obviously when you're living in your hometown, you're probably going to send to the same Walgreens, but if you do it somewhere else or a different Walgreens, and you select it, you can see the GPS on your watch. So you can hit the location button and it shows you where you are. And one thing I didn't do, because once the orders are gone, they're gone and they're not on your watch anymore. What I didn't do is like force press on the GPS location to see if it gives you directions. It'd be kind of cool if it did that. I didn't see anything when I went back in the app that says that, but it looks like it might be cool if it did do that, but I didn't check that functionality. So maybe I'll send some more pictures over and have an update for next week. And then when your order's ready, it just says, hey, your order's ready. And view my order. You can hit that. And it tells you what pictures they are. It tells you how much it costs. Tells you it's ready and it's good to go. So the app is pretty cool to send your pictures over. And the phone app and the watch app is pretty cool for tracking. I did it twice so far. And the funny thing is, sometimes when you send it to Walgreens, if they're not busy, the dang photos print and everything's done, I got a notification on my phone, and I never even got a chance to go to my watch. It was literally like 3 minutes, and they printed out five pictures. So the guy must have had nothing to do, right?
Yeah.
So I sent another batch over and watched it, you know, progress on my watch, and it was kind of cool how I did it. It took about 15 minutes. It just doesn't take very long. So it's a good app to send the photos over, but depending on the queue, I would guess maybe at Christmas, maybe there's a bigger backlog of pictures. And but right. I just realized that my watch, it was a cool set of functions, but it happened so fast, it mm-hmm. really just didn't make it all that valuable because I got a notification 5 minutes later that my prints were ready. So anyway, it's called mm-hmm. The Print Photos app by Walgreens.
Very cool. That's a neat – is that new, this ability to send stuff straight from your phone to get a photo that quickly?
I don't know. I immediately went to CVS to see if they have anything. They don't even have a watch app, but they do have something similar. But
okay.
I don't know how new is new, but it works really well. It's got 4.8 stars, so you can – it's really you know, highly rated. And if you're signed in with oh, by the way, it's pay when you pick up.
Right.
I didn't see a place to sign in with a credit card, like on the Walgreens app where everything's loaded in there and you could, you know, scan your barcode to reload your, prescription. There's no payment option. You have to pay at the store, but that's okay. It works fine.
Yeah. It'd be awesome if there was an Apple Pay right there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Walgreens has Apple Pay. So you just go up there and put your watch up there and boom.
No, I meant in the app.
Oh, in the app. Yeah, that'd be cool. Maybe that's an enhancement. But yeah, I didn't see any payment option.
That's cool. I mean, I honestly have not thought about doing actual prints since I was doing actual film. You know, taking them to places like Walgreens was always what you did. You took photos on film and you'd take it there to get your prints. That's the only way you could see them. And since the whole digital thing and everybody taking pictures on their phone, I never really thought about doing it that way.
That's the only time I print now is, like I say, we got this wall of mm-hmm. photos and it's customers, mm-hmm. events, things that happen at the craft beer market. And you just got to keep it moving, you know, to keep new photos on there. Cause people are like, where's my photo? Or, you know, why am I not up there? So that's the only time I print. And I found it very, instead of going to my computer and doing it, it's 2 minutes.
But how quick? That's amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
That's
very
cool.
Quick.
Very cool.
Very cool.
All right. I've got two things here I want to do. I'll do an app review, and then there's something else I just want to mention, another product. But the first thing here is, you know, I always find it interesting that a first-party app, and by that I mean an app that ships with your iPhone or your Apple Watch, you know, from Apple, which usually has the benefits of accessing everything the OS is capable of. I love it when they suddenly, it looks like they've been holding back abilities when a third-party app comes along and does it one better, right? And features and use, et cetera. And you're like, wait a minute. Well, this is one of those apps. It's called Canary Mail. It's a secure email app. That's what the title of it is. This is a third-party email app for iOS that also has an Apple Watch app with it. Now, I've been okay with Apple's Mail app. I've been using it, you know, forever on the Mac, the iPhone, the iPad, and the Apple Watch, everything. So why would I need to not only replace it with a third-party app, but pay for it as well? Well, this app gets a lot of things right that just work without any effort on your part. And, you know, the sort of thing Apple usually does all the time, this app does that. So first of all, this is the first email app, and maybe only one of a few apps in any category that I know of that take advantage of the Apple Watch's Series 3 LTE. Okay, this will work without your phone.
Oh, nice.
Not even Apple's Mail app can do that.
No, that's a big advantage.
If you have a Series 3 watch and you leave your with LTE and you leave your phone behind, you can still get, read, and send email from your watch. Now, you know, maybe this is something that's coming with watchOS 5, but I haven't heard anything about it. And obviously, it can be done with the existing OS because Canary did it, right? So by my score, Canary 1, Apple 0 right there. So now, Vincent, mm-hmm. you'll like this. Canary also has one-click encryption. So when you send an email to someone else who uses Canary, the email is encrypted on your device and unencrypted by the recipient's device. Your provider will not be able to read it, nor anyone else with any other app. Okay.
There it's you go.
Super simple and super secure. Now, Apple Mail does this sort of, but it involves certificates and keychain, and the instructions are, I think it's beyond most people, which is why most people never do it. So Canary 2, Apple 0. All right. Moving on. Another great feature is the look of this app. The interface is clean. It's very refreshing. And to be fair, maybe I'm just too used to Apple Mail's look and feel, but this just seems sharper, easier to read. It has a nice dark mode feature.
That's always nice.
Much easier on the eyes. And you can turn it on or off, you know, as you're looking at it. You can say, oh, I need to, you know, it's too bright. Turn it down. The UI is very well done. It's just, again, might just be because it's new to me, but I love it. I love the look of it. So Canary 3, Apple 0, if you're keeping score. Now, when it comes to reading an email on the Apple Watch, Apple Mail is sometimes hit or miss as to whether or not you're going to read the entire email. Have you noticed that? Canary is, now Canary is supposed to give you better results, but that hasn't been my experience with this. In fact, it's just the opposite. I found that Apple Mail will let me read the entire email on some emails that I get, but the same exact email on Canary, when I open it up, did not give me the entire text of the email on the watch. So this is an area I think that all email apps with a watch component need to work on. So Canary 3, Apple 1. Now, there's a lot of interesting other features to this, particularly with the iPhone app. It has smart filters. So it seems search and sorting is much better than Apple Mail. I don't know if you've ever tried to find anything in your Apple mailbox, but it can drive you crazy. You can snooze your email for later. How neat is that? So you can say, if you're looking at an email, you can say later today, this evening, tomorrow, this weekend, next week, next month, someday, which is a random date, or you can pick a date. I love that. That's a really useful feature. And here's something else that I have not seen before. You can one-click unsubscribe from an email.
That's great.
Yeah, you can create email templates. You can read notifications. And there's many, many more things. Now, Canary works with most popular email providers, Gmail, iCloud, Yahoo, Office 365, custom IMAP. And I think as you mentioned, Vincent, what is it you were trying to get it to work with?
I use Office 365 in Exchange, but the Exchange. One thing that caught me was
that can be tricky.
Two-factor authentication.
Yeah, yeah, on Exchange, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Right. It's hung up on that.
But it does work with apps like Google Drive, Dropbox, To-Do List, Things, iCal, and a few more. So for testing purposes, I only use Canary for one of my many email addresses. I have too many email addresses, I can tell you right now, but I only use one, and I've been pretty impressed with it so far. Now, I get notifications on my watch when an email from that address comes in, and I can deal with it right there on my watch. It comes with a three or five day trial. Free trial, and I needed more time than that to review it. So I bought the app. It's $10, $9.99. But I have to say it's worth it, and I will probably be using it in the future on more of my email addresses. This is one of those that I went in just thinking, well, I'm going to review this and probably not going to change everything for it, and I think I might. Mm-hmm. I'm actually tempted to change everything over to it, even though I know that's a big move, you know.
Well, when you read it now, read it later, read it tomorrow. What does that mean? Does it mean it shows up again at that time?
Yeah.
Or pings you or gives you a notification that it's the word there?
Yeah, exactly. So let me open it up here because I was surprised when I found that. I didn't even know it did that. So if I open up an email, there it is. Okay. So when you call up your email and you're reading your email, down at the bottom, you know, that thing at the top is really cool. But down at the bottom, you have a home button, you can delete the email, right? Mark it as read, all that kind of stuff. Well, you have another little button, a little clock. And if I tap that, it pops up and it says later today, and there's a time, later this evening with a time, tomorrow, this weekend, next week, next month. I can choose any of these for each email individually. Mm. And it will pretty much, it's like a snooze. Think of it that way. It's like a snooze for your email. It's like, I don't have time to deal with this now, but I don't want to lose it. you know, in the pile of email that I get. So right. I'm just going to flag that for coming back to me later. And I'm not sure that Apple Mail has anything quite like that.
Yeah, I think the Outlook one does.
Does it?
And yeah, you swipe on the email and you can reschedule it to pop up later.
Yeah, it's that kind of
thing.
It's
always fun.
This app itself, it just does, seems a lot more up to date than Apple's. That's my take on it. But yeah.
Did you get a work, Vincent, to work with 365?
I couldn't get past the 2FA step where it had to plug in your authorization code. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, I wasn't able to take it that far.
Now, 365, what do you use with that? What app?
I use Outlook.
It's
Outlook. Outlook, yeah. Okay. Same here. Yeah.
So that's kind of a proprietary thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
There's something with it, yeah, that's not letting you get past the code.
Right.
It gives me an error, and I've tried it a number of times.
Well, can you view that email through Apple Mail?
I haven't really used it on Apple Mail. Yeah, kind of keep working life separate.
As I remember back in my corporate life, that was always an issue with IT.
Mm-hmm.
I refused to use the Outlook apps because I hated them. And I demanded that they, you know, use duct tape and bailing wire to fix my Apple Mail to actually read all the Exchange stuff. So they had one app to go through. And
right.
Yeah, it was always a challenge for them, but they always got it to work. Mm-hmm. Probably for that very reason.
Yeah.
Okay. One other thing I want to mention before I forget is I ran across this on Indiegogo. This is a new, it's called Range Leather Apple Watch Bands and Travel Roll. This is a company that's got, this is an Indiegogo site for creating these leather watch bands that look really cool. They come in three different colors of leather and they look really nice. And they've got, you can get one for $45 as an early bird. You can get two of them for $90, or you can get all three of them for $135. And then they also have this thing called a travel roll, which is just a flat piece of leather with areas to put your slide in, little loops to put in your Apple Watch bands, cables, a little pouch that you just roll up and carry with you, like a little travel thing. They also have that, which is kind of neat. But mm-hmm. Everybody's interested, I'll put a link in the show notes to it. I went ahead and ordered some. So whenever this, it's supposed to be shipping in June. So whenever it ships and comes in, I'll do a review of these. But I was just taken with the leather. Looked awesome. Looked very nice. So,
cool. So Tom, I downloaded that Canary app.
Yes.
One thing you didn't say is on the phone, mm-hmm. it gives you like the icon of what it is. Like if it's a Google email, it's got the G.
Oh, yes, yes.
If it's from like Quicken Loans sent me one. Walgreens, it's got the Walgreens app. So you can quickly see just by looking visually what you got. If it's from Twitter or from like Delta sent me one. It's got the Delta icon. That's neat.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm saying it's a really cool app. There's a lot of little features in there, that little touches that I think Apple is just kind of missing on theirs. Like I said, I love it when a third party shows you things that Apple Mail can't, you know, that Apple's own apps can't do with the current OS. I don't understand that. Like the ability to stream podcasts, right? From your Apple mm-hmm. Watch with cellular. Why you can't do that? I don't get it.
Mm.
All right. Anyway, moving on. Vincent, what do you got?
All right. I have the an app called Walker. It's Walkr without the E.
Okay, not the Walking Dead app.
Not that.
Not Fear the Walking Dead. None of that. Okay.
Yeah, this is a basically their title is a gamified fitness app, and it's been around for a couple of years, I guess. But I just noticed it because it was in the Apple Watch store. But it's a beautifully designed app that encourages you to walk at least 10,000 steps a day.
Mm-hmm.
It gamifies the entire thing. If rings are enough to motivate you, great. But like if this thing has an entire galaxy that you can explore based upon the number of steps you take, and your steps translates to energy, and that energy powers your rocket, and you can upgrade your rocket. You can explore over 100 planets. And as you know, as you discover planets, those planets have inhabitants, and you've got to go back and feed them So, and in order to feed them, you have satellites. Like the first one they give you is a blender that basically outputs tomatoes. And then you feed your first planet, which is a snow world, and they have like blue little ice Eskimos running around, and they generate coins. And these coins can be used to upgrade your rocket, upgrade the planet, and increase their productivity. So like the second planet I came across was a level one donut. So the entire planet is a donut with little tiny sugar blocks that run around and they create more coins.
I want to go to that planet.
It is a fantastically designed app that they have wonderful music that my kids, you know, when my daughter picked it up, she basically took the phone and started walking around. I mean, that's how instantaneous a result it is, because as you create these coins, you can apply it to unlock more stuff. So it is amazing how quickly it hooks you in, because of the animations, the little tiny features, it's great. There are in-app purchases, but if you're kind of lazy and you want to kind of get ahead, you can buy up to 20,000 cubes and stuff to help unlock and upgrade your planets and your rocket and everything else for like $100 for 20,000 cubes.
Wow.
But yeah, you can buy gifts for some folks, I guess. There's an ad remover for $1.99, but I haven't come across an ad yet, so I don't know what the deal is with that. Like I said, the app is highly, highly reviewed. It's got over 1,400 ratings, and it's a 4.5 or something like that.
Oh gosh.
So it's really great. Your companion is this dog. You're an 11-year-old genius that's flying around the universe essentially. And the dog is, your co-pilot, or at least it gives you messages and stuff. You can, there's a social component to it. You can get other folks involved. You can join a team, you can share fuel points to unlock planets, you can go on adventures together. There's a planet lab, a whole bunch of little different things on the phone that you can do. The attention to detail, like even on, you know how like the when you're exercising, the little man runs on your Apple Watch.
Right.
They do kind of the same thing. When the phone's syncing with the watch, it has a little running man. That mean nothing. No little detail is left uncovered. With the watch, though, there's not much you can do there. It is as beautifully designed. There's no complications, though. You can't get to it very quickly. The first panel that you get is essentially your pedometer. It shows the number of energy steps that you've taken and the time it last synced with your phone. It seems because it was created for the phone first, it uses the gyroscope and the pedometer in there to be super accurate. I don't know in terms of what it uses on the watch and whether or not it uses the watch's activity. I'm assuming it does to sync back to the app. The second panel is a bunch of push notifications to tell you you know, how your planets are doing or whether or not your inhabitants are hungry, because you got to go back and feed them. So that does like keep you engaged with the app. So you're constantly going back and saying, okay, yeah, I've got to go collect the coins that the planets have produced and feed your folks. You get random gifts as well as most other apps. So you're going to go and collect that. You can't do any of that on your watch. You only get notified. And you have to go to your phone to collect it. And then finally, there's a panel specifically for the Apple Watch. So there's booster events that are happening. Like right now, there's a 3x coins or energy coins to the amount of steps that you take. So again, if you need more motivation for walking and you want to enjoy a good game, this app is fantastic. I'm looking forward to doing a lot more with it. It's probably the first one that's kind of taken advantage of that whole activity. So in terms of
Tom must be seeing Vincent closing his rings.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. You guys know I haven't been really active these days because of work and all that, but yeah, maybe this will get me going again.
So I have a question. If I had my phone with me and I had my watch on, where's it getting the data?
Yeah, that's a question that's always been up in the air, right?
Yeah. Which one is doing it?
Yeah.
You know, because you said your kids take the phone and run with it.
They ran with it. Yeah, they ran.
So does that give you credit? It doesn't give you credit on your Apple Watch rings, but it gives you credit in this game.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, right. I just wonder when you had them both, which one is doing the work? Very cool, though. I like the Water World. I see another planet here called Water World. Is Kevin Costner there? Is that... How does that work? Well, I can see them doing all sorts of things with this in the future, too.
That's right. It is super complex. I mean, the review doesn't do it justice in terms of the depth of all the things that you can do with it.
And it's free. That's the part that blows my mind. I know they want you to do in-app purchase, but you don't have to if you use it right.
Right.
I mean...
It's true.
If you use it a lot, you don't need any of the in-app stuff. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
No ads, none of that, right?
I haven't seen the ads. It said that there was $1.99 to remove ads, but I haven't seen any.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Walker. All right.
Yep.
All right. Time to move on. Here we go.
The Apple Watchcast. Listener feedback.
All right, time for listener feedback. First one here is from Alan. I was trying to locate a portable battery charger that can wirelessly charge my Apple Watch 3. I cannot find one. Do you know of any that that using the Qi protocol, the QI protocol? Thanks for the email, Alan. Not sure what you're asking with that protocol, because there's plenty of portable battery chargers out there for your watch. Does the watch not work directly with the Qi standard?
Not the ones that are out there, yeah.
Not even the Apple Watch 3, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think so. So I don't know why you're asking for that protocol in particular, Alan, unless you're looking for a combo thing for your phone. The Apple Watch charges under a different protocol, right, than Qi.
I thought it was Qi. It's just the way that it's aligned.
It's different. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
You can't just buy a Qi charger and put your watch on it.
And it's supposed to work with the AirPower pad, whatever, but no one's actually seen that in a while.
Well, I don't think Apple's seen that work yet either. we're going to wait on that one. But we've reviewed, and just do a search on our website, Alan, plenty of different portable battery chargers. Mm-hmm. The latest one I did, there's some from Canex, K-A-N-E-X, makes some. I think Nomad makes some. Cooper Case recently had one, which a nice charging case where the actual charging part pops out and you put it on a keychain. There's a lot of those types of things out there. Just do a quick search.
I think we've all done one in the past.
Yeah. Next up is Steve. Hi, guys. It's Steve from Northern Ireland. Here, just wanted to wade in on these strange issues with your listeners started having charging issues, and I have an odd error that I have not seen discussed anywhere else. I had a Series 0, which, to be honest, I wish I had not bothered with. little lesson for the future, I am not buying a first-gen Apple product again. However, I persisted, and now I have a Series 3 that I love, especially the battery life, and with careful use, I can get almost 2 days. Well, that's great. However, I like tracking sleep and use the excellent app AutoSleep, as I have always been used to wearing a watch to bed, and also have it in theater mode and do not disturb so I don't get woken up by it. Because of this, I tend to give the watch short top-up charges about 2 to 3 times a day. I don't know if this is a bad idea for long-term battery life or not in this day and age. All this was working fine, however, since the last update, I've noticed that the watch seems to be hotter when I take it off the charger and put it back on my wrist. Then one day this happened. I looked at the watch on the charger and the portrait nightstand mode display had gone, and it was replaced by a green time display you typically get in power saving mode in the top right corner and a green thermometer in the top left. I didn't hang around to closely observe these, but that's definitely what I saw. I took the watch off the charger and it rebooted by itself, but after it did, it all came back to normal with 100% charge. It's not repeated that since, but I do think, after the recent firmware updates, that the watch does appear to charge hotter. Thanks for the great show, guys. Well, thank you for that email, Steve. I've not seen anything quite like that. I did mention I had some different issues with it getting very hot when it charged. Wasn't charging, actually. Charging is an odd thing here. I think we're noticing some strange things happening with these wireless chargers, right? That the Apple Watch is one of the first ones out there in millions and millions of units like this. I don't know. Have you guys ever seen that?
Not recently.
Yeah.
No, that I can think of.
Not quite like that. I don't know what that screen was either. It may have simply been a, maybe that's something that happens when it overheats.
Yeah, the thermometer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the thermometer makes me think it was overheating. Now, you did not mention what charger you're using. Is it a third party or is it an Apple Watch cable? You know, the one that came with it, or did you purchase one from Apple? Mm. If it's third party, I would suspect something else might be going on. However, having said all of that, as we've mentioned before, these are lithium batteries in mm-hmm. these devices. And by the way, Steve, continue to top it out 2 to 3 times a day is absolutely a bad idea for these batteries. Don't they need to discharge completely? Isn't that better for the life cycle of the watch or the battery?
I don't know.
Don't know? I heard if you continue to charge, keep it fully charged more than not, it will shorten the life of the battery. And in my opinion, anything that shortens the life of the battery means it's closer and closer to just blowing up on you.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, so, I think we've heard that too. Let it drain, recharge it, and don't do the quick recharges, and also don't just keep it plugged in at 100%. I've heard that. I've never done any research on it.
Right.
Yeah, that's the same thing. I mean, I've heard of that, that was with older technologies, but maybe. I don't know about these newer ones. They're supposed to be limiting. But my curiosity is around the brick. It's always that thing that goes bad first.
Yeah, right.
And whether or not you're still using the little white one that came with, I don't even know if it came with the watch actually. Or I remember the watch coming with just the cable, but not with the brick. And so is everyone using like an iPhone brick that they had?
I don't know. I have a drawer full of them. I just grabbed them. Yeah.
I bought an Anker one and I basically had the 6-port one and I plugged the watch into that one. But I'm curious to know whether or not it is that's what's going bad. Not the cable, not the watch, but you know, maybe that thing needs to be refreshed once in a while.
Right. Now we do know that when you talk about battery life, when they do, you know, all of this is controlled by the software, right? The charging. Mm-hmm. So yes, it can happen with updates in OS that the battery can either get better life. That's how sometimes when they come out with an update, suddenly you get more battery life because it's all controlled by the software. So, you know, we know how software is. It can be glitchy sometimes. So I wouldn't put it past that, but I will tell you though, I've been charging my iPhone X and my watch on that wireless charger that I reviewed a couple weeks ago. And I have noticed sometimes when my phone is charging, sitting on this pad, which it's awesome, by the way, just to set your phone down and it charges with no cables. It's amazing. It is a little warmer when I pick it up than had I just plugged it in. So I don't know if just the process of the transference of the power to the device makes them a little warmer. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. These are, again, when you're messing with batteries like this, you know, jury's still out on some of that.
Yep.
Okay. Also from Facebook, we have a comment here. This is from Gary Newitt from Buckinghamshire, England. Says, good evening. I am Gary Newitt, an avid listener from Buckinghamshire, England. I get that right. Firstly, great podcast. I'm not usually one to make contact, but for your recommendation section, I would love to draw your attention to, it's called Velomount, V-E-L-O-M-O-U-N-T, velomounts.com. It's as a keen cyclist, I have been looking for a handlebar mount to enable me to say goodbye to my Garmin and instead utilize all of my Apple Watch features. Simple, but gives the Apple Watch a very realistic chance of replacing the Garmin. Many thanks, Gary. Thanks for that, Gary. I'll put a link in the show notes for that. Basically, what it is a device that mounts to your handlebars in the front that you pop in your watch without a band. You just put the watch in itself.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, kind of cool. Yeah. That's a neat little device. I'll put a link in the show notes. Anybody's a avid cyclist and looking for something like that. Now, I realize that you could not use that and that helmet we just talked about. You couldn't use them at the same time, could you? Yeah.
Probably not.
That's not going to work.
Somehow grab that thing off the handlebars and shook it and then put it back on.
Yeah, and hold your arm out and put it back. Yeah. Kind of defeats the purpose, I guess. That really wouldn't work. But anyway, thanks for that. Thanks, everybody, for all your emails and comments. We love getting them and answering them here on the show, and especially those audio comments. Keep those coming. You want to send us a comment? Send it to comments@applewatchcast.com, and we'll try to read it here on the show. Anything else before we dock this week's show into the portrait nightstand mode?
I had one question, actually, from my wife. She was asking if anybody is a professional, like physical therapists or nurses or doctors, and you use your Apple Watch in your daily work. Mm. I'd like to hear about it.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I actually, the Walgreens app was one of those. I'm going to start trying to use more apps that are kind of like life related versus kind of fun related. I don't know if that's the difference or not, but you know what I mean? Like same kind of thing. Vincent, is, you know, how you can apply it to more everyday kind of stuff. I don't know if I'm making myself clear or not, but I think you kind of understand what I'm talking about.
Right. Yeah. So again, comments@applewatchcast.com. Keep it coming. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, for being here. I really do appreciate it. And thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support this show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/applewatchcast. Doesn't cost a lot to subscribe, and it helps us to continue to produce this show. So check it out at patreon.com/applewatchcast. And again, I'd like to thank everybody who does support us on Patreon. We really do appreciate it. Links to some of the stuff we talk about on each and every show can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes or any other platform that you want to listen to. And if you do subscribe in iTunes, don't forget to post a review while you're there. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. And again, we'll try to read it here on the show. Look for us and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and all the rest. Have a great week. As always, thanks for listening. Until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
Tom?
Hello.
Yeah, was that something on your end or our end or my end?
Vince, both you and Vincent cut out.
Yeah, we both drop off.
Yeah, the Skype Skype just went crazy.
Yeah, good. I'm glad it was Skype. I'm sitting here with great internet. I thought it was my end, but yeah, it just died out.
Yeah, okay. So you guys missed my awesome ending for that last bit.
I did. And you're wondering why no one was commenting.
Like, I was like, oh, come on. I just delivered a great pun and like, silence, dead silence. Oh man, thanks Skype. All right, now I said this app was gone in the wink of an eye, and nothing. Okay,
Benny knew something was wrong.
All right, I have to cut that in.
I have to do some splicing there.
Yeah. Okay, moving on.